Hi, good evening. This is the third class of this series on how to meditate. So what we're going to do tonight is we'll start with a session of meditation as we did earlier. I think it's okay like this. Yeah, can everyone hear me okay? Is it loud and clear? Sometimes my voice gets soft when I'm leading meditation, so I'll try to speak loud. Yeah, so we'll start with some meditation, as we have done previously. We'll do a short guided relaxation, a kind of body scan, going through the body and relaxing the different parts of the body. And then we'll do the meditation on the breath, as we've done before, for 15 minutes or so. And then we'll do I'll talk for a little while, and then we'll do one more meditation later in the evening. Sorry. Meditation on loving kindness as an example of another kind of meditation that we do in the Tibetan tradition, which is called analytical meditation. So I'll explain that a bit later. But that's just the program for tonight. And hopefully there'll be some time at the end if any of you have questions. Okay. So, first of all, sit in a comfortable position. So if you're sitting on the floor, you can have your legs crossed in whatever way is comfortable for you. If you're sitting on the chair, just have your 2 feet flat on the floor. And have your back straight, if possible, as straight as possible. But at the same time, let your shoulders relax. Don't have your shoulders tight and tense. And you can have your hands resting in your lap, with the right on top of the left. But if you have learned another way of holding your hands during meditation, you can use that. This is the way we do in the Tibetan tradition. And have your mouth and jaw relaxed. Don't clench your teeth, leave them loose. It's best to breathe in and out through your nose, your nostrils. So your mouth should be closed. And it's also good to touch the tip of your tongue to the roof of the mouth behind the upper teeth. And then eyes, it's actually recommended to not close the eyes completely, but leave them open a little bit so there's some light coming in. So that helps to prevent sleepiness, drowsiness, and some of you may have had a long, hard day and you might be tired. So if you sit down and relax and close your eyes, then the next thing you know, you might be falling asleep. So ideally, we don't want to fall asleep in meditation. We want to stay awake. So keeping the eyes open a little helps to prevent sleepiness. So just have your eyes looking down onto your lap or the floor in front of you. Okay, so do the best you can to relax in this position. Let go of any tension you may have anywhere in your body. You can imagine it melting, flowing out of you, draining out of you, and sinking down into the ground below us. Or you could imagine any tension in your body sort of evaporating and disappearing in space. So to really make sure that we are as relaxed and free of tension as possible, let's go through the body from the top down and check if there's any tension, and if there is, to let it go, release it. So first feel the top of your head and let the top of your head relax. Next feel your forehead and let your forehead relax. Then feel your eyes. Relax all the muscles around your eyes and behind your eyes. Relax all the other muscles in your face. Let your face be smooth, relaxed, free of tension. But you might want to smile a little bit. Having a bit of a smile on your mouth and your lips helps to be in a more relaxed frame of mind. Then relax the right side of your head. And then the back of your head. Then the left side of your head. And then relax the inside of your head. So all the parts of the brain, all the cells and neurons of our brain. So let them relax, let go of any tension you may have inside of your head. So try to have the whole of your head, both the outside and the inside, as light, free of tension, and relaxed as possible. But if you're not able to completely let go of all the tension, if there's a little bit left somewhere, don't worry about that. Just let it be and feel that you've done the best you can and be content with that. Then move your awareness down into your neck and throat and relax that area. And then do the same with the upper part of your back. Let your shoulder blades and shoulder muscles relax. Then let your awareness continue moving down through your back. Relax the middle part of your back. and then the lower part of the back. Go all the way down. Try to make sure the whole of your back is relaxed, free of tension, as much as possible. And then move your awareness to the front part of your body, starting with your chest. Let your chest relax. And that includes your lungs and your heart inside of your chest. Let them relax. Then let your awareness continue moving down through your torso, relaxing all the muscles and organs in your diaphragm, your abdomen, the belly and pelvic area, and the area around your hips. So let go of any tension. Let it melt, flow out of you, leaving you as free of tension as possible. And then let your awareness move into your right leg and first relax the upper part of the right leg. Then the lower part of the right leg. And finally your foot, from your ankle through the foot all the way down to the toes of your right foot. And then switch your awareness to your left leg. First, relax the upper part of the left leg. And then the lower part of the left leg. And then finally, your left foot, from your ankle down to your toes of the left foot. And finally, the arms. So start with your right arm. Bring your awareness to the upper part of your right arm and relax that area. Then relax the lower part of the right arm. Then your right hand and fingers. And then the left arm. Bring your awareness to the upper part of the left arm. Relax that area. Then the lower part of the left arm. And then left hand and fingers. Okay, so now we've gone through the whole body and relaxed as much as we can. Again, if there's still a little bit of tension somewhere, don't worry about it, just let it be. Feel content that you did the best you can. So now we're going to do the meditation on the breath, the breathing. So just let your breathing flow in and out in a natural way, without trying to control your breathing, regulate your breathing. So there's really no need to do that, because your body knows how to breathe on its own. When you're asleep or unconscious, your body continues breathing. So it doesn't need to be controlled. So just let the body breathe as it normally does. And then with your mind, your awareness, pay attention to, or be aware of the breath, which means being aware of sensations in your body associated with the breathing. So there's different ways you could do that. You could pay attention to the sensations around the nostrils or on the upper lip as the breath is coming in and going out of the body. Or you could pay attention to the sensations at your abdomen, the in and out sensations with each breath. Or whatever other sensations you notice that you can pay attention to, be aware of as your breath is coming in and going out. So you can decide yourself how to do that, how to watch the breath. But the important thing is to try to be aware of each inhalation of the breath and each exhalation of the breath, one after the other, one breath after the next. And if there's a pause in between one breath and the next, or between the inhalation and the exhalation, don't let your mind wander away. Keep your mind where it is, waiting for the next part of the breathing. So that's the basic practice. But then naturally our mind will wander away, thoughts will come up, and we'll find ourselves carried away with the thoughts, thinking about things from the past, or thinking about the future or future plans, or thinking about your problems, or lots of other things. So it doesn't matter what the thought is about. Any thought is not to be paid attention to while we do this meditation. So just let the thought there. You can't stop it from coming. The thought will come, but just notice it. You can say to yourself, thought or thinking. And then put it aside, let it go, leave it aside, and come back to the breath, come back to the breathing. And do the same with any other obstacle, any other distraction, like a sound that you may hear, or some other sensation in your body, a pain, an itch, feeling hot or cold. Just notice it, name it, sound or sensation, then let it go, put it aside and come back to the breath. And as I spoke about last week, when we do meditation, ideally, we should do it without any expectations. That means we shouldn't be sitting there waiting for some kind of special, wonderful experience to happen. So that's not correct. So try to let go of or put aside any such expectations, and instead just accept whatever is happening moment by moment. Whether it's a pleasant experience or an unpleasant experience or a neutral experience, just accept them all with equanimity, without bias, without prejudice, without liking one type of experience, disliking another one. So try to let go of all judgments, all liking and disliking, and just let whatever be. Just whatever happens, let it happen. And remember, all of our experiences are impermanent. They are like clouds that come and go in the sky. They come, they're there for a moment, they go. So just let them go and keep coming back to the breath. So your breath is always there, and you can always come back to it. It's not a problem, it's not bad if your mind wanders away. You can just bring it back to the breath, and that's completely okay, even if you have to do it again and again. It's fine. So just keep coming back to the breath, back to the present moment, the here and now. Okay, so I'd like to talk about a few of the common, typical problems that can occur during meditation and what we can do about them. So one is sleepiness, especially at the end of the day, if you've been really busy all day and you're quite tired, And you try to sit down and close your eyes and meditate, you might find yourself falling asleep. So ideally, we don't want to fall asleep when we meditate. We want to stay awake and alert. So if you notice this happening, there's a couple of things you can do. One is to really make sure your back is straight, because maybe you've kind of slumped like this. So straighten up your back, because that helps to wake up your energy. And also your eyes. I mentioned before that if you close your eyes completely, then it's like everything's black, everything's dark, and that can lead to sleepiness as well. So that's why they say it's better not to close your eyes completely, but leave them open partially, just enough so there's some light coming in. And then you have your eyes looking down onto whatever's in front of you, your lap or the floor. So it's a bit difficult if you're not used to doing that, just keeping the eyes in that partially open position. But after you do it for a while, you get used to it. It gets easier, and that definitely helps to stay awake. In fact, in some traditions, they even people meditate with their eyes, you know, quite wide open, looking, you know, just at the space in front of them. Or in the Zen tradition, they sometimes sit facing a wall and they have their eyes open, just staring at the wall. So it is possible to meditate with your eyes open. You just have to learn to not look around and, you know, see what's going on, see what other people are doing. So you have to be disciplined to have your eyes open but not be focused on what you see. Just ignore what you see, okay? So it may take a while to learn how to do that, but it's possible. And then, what else? Oh yeah, another thing that's good for sleepiness, if you try those methods and you're still feeling sleepy, the Tibetan teachers say you can imagine light. Visualize light. Imagine yourself full of light, as if there's a really bright spotlight or a bright sun inside of you. And you're just filled up with, illuminated by this bright light. So, because light, like, you know, when you're asleep and somebody turns on the light, it wakes us up. So imagining light can also wake you up in your meditation. So those are some things we can try. But if you're still feeling very sleepy, then it's probably better to take a break and get up, stretch, put some cold water on your face, get some fresh air, look out into the distance. This is when you're by yourself. I mean, when we're meditating in a group like this, it would be disturbing for everybody to be getting up and, you know, walking around all the time. But if you're by yourself and you're struggling with sleepiness, then that's something you could do. Just take a little break, wake yourself up, and then try again. Another common problem is distraction. That is when our mind doesn't stay focused on our object, but keeps going away. So this is a very common, and it's also something that will probably continue to happen for a long time to come. Sometimes people think that meditation means you don't have any other thoughts. Your mind is totally focused on your object of meditation, the breath or whatever, and nothing else should be happening in your mind. So that's not realistic. I mean, it is possible at higher stages of development to just have a concentrated mind and no thoughts coming at all. But you have to work really hard. You have to put in a lot of time on the cushion before you get to that point. So before then, there will naturally be thoughts coming up. So just expect that. Don't worry or feel upset or, think you're not doing well. So just accept that there are thoughts coming up in the mind. And the point is how we deal with them. What do we do with them? So ideally, we don't want to just get carried away by the thoughts going all over the place, to the past, to the future, to other places, and so on. So we want to try to stay in the present with what we're doing right here, right now. So there's no real easy solution to this problem of thoughts, distractions, except to just keep coming back to the object of meditation. So like the meditation we were just doing now, the object is the breath. So you just keep coming back to the breath. The mind goes away, you keep bringing it back. It goes away, you keep bringing it back. So that's the only real remedy to that problem. Although it can also help, as I mentioned during the meditation, to give names or labels to what happens in your mind. So you can just say thought, or memory, or feeling an itch, or hearing a sound. So just give a name or a label to what it is that's happening, and then let it go. Don't continue paying attention to it. Just put it aside, come back to your object of meditation. But to really be able to get beyond distractions, ideally one needs to be in quite a good situation, like in a retreat. Some of you may have had the chance to do a retreat where you go to some quiet place and you don't have to go to work, you don't use your phone, you don't do anything except meditate. You sleep, you eat, you meditate. And maybe you don't even talk. It's a silent retreat. So if you have a chance to be in that kind of situation, then you'll find that your mind does settle down. You don't have so many thoughts, so many distractions. You can really get quite concentrated. But living in the city and working and using the phone and internet and all of these kind of things, then naturally, when we try to meditate, there's just many, many, many thoughts going on. So don't worry or be upset about that. Just accept it and just try to not follow the thoughts and instead keep coming back to your object of meditation. Also, try to avoid judging the thoughts or the experiences. Judging means liking some, disliking others. Oh, this is a nice experience, this is a bad experience. I like this one, I don't like that one. That's hard. It's hard to avoid doing that because we're doing it all the time, all day long. We're liking and disliking, attachment and aversion. Okay, so this is just such a habit we have. So it's hard to stop that, to shut that off. But at least try to be aware of it. Try to notice it and try to have an attitude of equanimity. I mentioned that at the beginning of the meditation. Just have an even-minded attitude, an unbiased attitude. Whatever happens, just accept it. Don't like it or dislike it. Don't judge it as good or bad. Just that's there, that's happening. Okay, let it go, come back to the breath. So this is something that takes time to learn how to do, but the more we practice, the more we will be able to do that. Okay, another common problem is physical discomfort. So this can mean, this could be pain, actual pain. Or one time, just recently, somebody asked me about numbness. You know that experience of numbness, or we say in English, pins and needles. So you might feel that in your feet or in your legs, one or both of your legs. I don't think that's a big problem. I don't think it's a sign of any kind of permanent damage to your body, right? It's just a temporary thing. And my own experience with that is I need to find the right kind of cushion to sit on to be able to avoid that. If you sit on a really hard surface, this is my experience anyway, if I have to sit on a very hard surface, I'm more likely to get that problem. So I find it's better to have a softer kind of mat or carpet or whatever to sit on, and also the cushion you put under your bottom, if it's too high or too low, too hard, too soft, that might also affect this numbness. So experiment with different kinds of cushions, different kinds of mats, different kinds of seating arrangements, also different kinds of postures. It could also be just the way you're arranging your legs. So experiment, and hopefully you'll find a way of sitting and the right kind of equipment that you won't have this problem of numbness. Yeah? So that's one solution to that. But even if it does happen, it's only a temporary experience. Okay? It's a little uncomfortable, but I don't think it's something excruciatingly painful that you can't bear. If you just try to put up with it while it's there, and then when you finish your meditation, just be very careful not to get up too quickly, because if you do, you might fall over. That happened once. I was with this group of people, and this person finished meditating, and he tried to stand up, and he immediately fell over because his leg had fallen asleep, but he didn't even know it. So that could be dangerous. You could hurt yourself, right? So just be really careful. It's best to sort of rub your legs, move your legs, make sure the blood is circulating again before you try to get up, okay? So with any kind of physical discomfort in the body, legs, back, head, whatever, it's normal. I think everybody will experience some discomfort sometimes. And again, you could try to work with different postures, different kinds of things that you sit on. Also, you know, if sitting cross-legged is too uncomfortable, it's fine to sit on a chair. You can meditate sitting on a chair. You can also meditate lying down or standing up. The Buddha said there's four postures. There's sitting, lying, standing, and sitting. So any of those postures could be used for meditation. The lying posture is a little tricky, you know, to be able to lie down and meditate and not start snoring. But some people do that. If sitting is too painful, then that may be the only position. I met a woman who the only position that she could meditate in was standing up. Sitting on the floor, sitting on a chair, even lying down. All those positions were painful for her. The only position that wasn't painful was standing up. So she did her meditation standing up. So feel free to experiment with different bodily arrangements to find one that isn't too painful for you. But even then, you know, there could be some pain, some discomfort. And another thing is the clothing that we wear. If you're wearing tight clothing, tight pants, trousers, tight belt, that could also be a cause of problems. So it's better to have loose-fitting clothes. And also, if you have, maybe you really need to see the doctor. If you're having a lot of pain, you need to check with your doctor if there's something wrong. So try to find the cause of the pain. Try to prevent or avoid the cause of the pain, if possible. But even if you do all of those things, there might still be some pain or some discomfort. So then, my teachers say it's okay to move. You know, if this position that you're sitting in becomes painful, it is okay to move. You don't have to be like a statue, frozen, never moving. I mean, some teachers, some traditions might say that, but not, I mean, in my tradition, they don't say that. It is okay to move, but if you do move, especially in a group like this, do it quietly and in a way that isn't going to disturb the people around you. Okay, so do it quietly and, you know, slowly. Also, it's best not to move too much, but only when really necessary. So what some teachers say is, when you first feel the impulse to move, ignore it. Don't move. Just keep sitting. And then if the impulse comes a second time, the impulse to move, again, ignore it. Don't move. Just keep sitting. Then the third time, if the third impulse to move comes, then you can move. So wait till the third impulse to move before you do so. And that way you learn a bit of discipline instead of moving every single time your body says, I want to move, because then you'll be just moving all the time. And it is good to try to sit still, because every time your body moves, it's going to affect your mind. So the more still your body can be, the more chance that your mind can be still. So it is best to try not to move too much. And also, if you feel the impulse to move and you ignore it, it's possible that the pain might go away. I had that happen to me recently. I was with a group of monastics, monks and nuns, and we were sitting for an hour every morning. And so I remember one morning I got this pain in my leg, but I didn't move. I just kept sitting, and then after a while the pain went away. Yeah, so sometimes the pain or the discomfort will just go away by itself without you having to move or do anything. Okay. But on the other hand, if it's really, really excruciating and, you know, your mind is screaming out in pain, it is okay to move. Yeah. Okay, so that's about bodily discomfort. And then another thing that can sometimes happen, this doesn't happen to everybody, but sometimes some people will have some strange experiences. So these could be physical. You know, you might have some strange physical sensations. I hear about these from people. Sometimes they feel as if their body's floating, or their body disappears, or their body's moving by itself, when in fact it isn't. Yeah. It's still there, and it's still on the floor, and it's not moving. So it's just a kind of weird, strange experience that's not really happening. It's just in the mind. Or there could be certain types of thoughts or images or feelings, emotions that could be scary or disturbing, yeah? Or they could be really pleasant and beautiful. Yeah. So if you do have such experiences, whether they're physical or they're more mental, it's best to treat them in the same way that you treat anything else. It's just a distraction. It's just something that could distract you from meditation. So just ignore it. Try to ignore it anyway. Just notice it and then come back to your breath, to the breath, or whatever your object of meditation is. Try to avoid the tendency to be curious about it and wonder, what's this all about? Where is this coming from? And you might react with fear. You might, you know, oh, what's happening? Maybe I'm going crazy, or maybe a spirit is possessing me. Or if you have that kind of thought coming, that's just, again, another distraction. It's probably not true. So try not to let your mind get caught up in those kinds of thoughts or ideas. Just ignore them and just come back to the breath. Or if it's a pleasant experience, then you might start getting really excited and thinking, wow, maybe I'm about to have a realization. Maybe I'm about to attain nirvana or enlightenment, you know, and you get really excited about that. So again, that's just, you know, a distraction. The mind can come up with all kinds of weird things. So just notice them, of course. Just notice that they're there, but don't pay attention to them. They're just distractions. But so if you do that, if you just notice them and let them go, it's just another distraction. It's impermanent. It's like a cloud in the sky. So it should go away. But if it doesn't, if it keeps coming back and it's, you know, it's like a problem, then it's probably good to check with a teacher, an experienced teacher, or maybe with a therapist. maybe you do need some psychological help. But I think it's rare. I mean, I'm not saying this to scare you, but it does happen sometimes to people that they'll have strange experiences. And I think it could be just because what we're doing is very unusual. Sitting still, closing our eyes, closing our mouth, not moving, and trying to focus our mind on something. This is unusual. It's something we don't normally do. So it's a strange thing for our body and our mind to be doing this. So naturally, it can cause some strange reactions to happen. Or from the Buddhist point of view, you know, they might say karma, you know, some old karma from the past is coming up, is ripening. Okay? So it's not surprising, and it's not something to worry about. It's just a side effect of meditation. So try to just ignore these things, notice them, but don't follow them, don't get caught up, don't react. Just notice them, let them go, and they most probably will just disappear and not come back. Does that make sense? Okay. So last week I mentioned that there are two main kinds of meditation explained in our tradition, the Tibetan tradition. One is called placement meditation, or it could also be called concentration meditation. So this is meditation where we are trying to concentrate. We're trying to develop concentration, meaning keeping our mind on one object alone, and bringing it back to that one object whenever it wanders away. So it's the opposite to our normal state of mind, which is all over the place. Okay. So everybody has the ability to concentrate at least for a few seconds, maybe longer. Because, like, you know, we've all been to school, maybe some of you are still in school. And when we have exams, you have to study, you have to write a paper, so you have to concentrate, okay? So we do know how to do that. We do have that experience of concentrating, keeping our mind concentrated. And sometimes when people are doing something they really enjoy, like if you like to paint, or you like to write, or you like to watch TV or movies, or read books or whatever. So we can also be very concentrated, almost as if nothing else is happening except what we're doing at that moment. So it's a natural ability of the mind. So we're trying to train that ability in a specific way, focusing on just one object. It could be the breath, it could be an image of the Buddha, it could be these various objects that you could use. But you choose your object, and then you just try to stay with that object and keep coming back again and again whenever the mind wanders away. And if you really work at this quite hard, put in a lot of time and energy, then you can eventually train your mind to be able to stay focused on your object of meditation without wandering away, without feeling sleepy, tired. And you can stay like that for hours. They say it's really, really blissful, naturally, physically and mentally blissful. So that's one kind of meditation, training the mind in concentration. And then another kind of meditation is what we call analytical meditation. So here we have some, usually a topic that we are contemplating or thinking about. For example, the first teaching that the Buddha gave on the Four Noble Truths, he taught the Four Noble Truths, suffering, the cause of suffering, cessation of suffering, the path. So we need to contemplate these points to be able to understand them better and deeper, just as the Buddha understood them himself. So it isn't enough just to know the words, to hear them, to be able to repeat them. We have to really deeply understand what it means, what these Four Noble Truths really mean. So we use analytical meditation to do that. We think about them. We get teachings from our teachers. We read books. And then on our own, we meditate on these points. So the purpose of this kind of meditation is to develop wisdom. Wisdom means understanding things in a correct way, as they really are, rather than in a mistaken way, with delusions, with ignorance, with confusion. So we're trying to achieve a correct understanding of things or insight into things. And that's the main thing we need to develop to free ourselves from suffering, because the cause of suffering, the main cause of suffering, is ignorance, not knowing the true nature of things. And wisdom is the opposite, the antidote, the medicine that cures our ignorance. So analytical meditation is used to develop wisdom. So there's many different kinds of analytical meditation. And, you know, it involves contemplating or thinking about a certain topic. And there's also a twofold division of analytical meditation into one type where we're contemplating a certain object, like the Four Noble Truths, or impermanence, or emptiness. So there we're thinking about that object, trying to understand it better and better and better. The other kind of analytical meditation is when we are trying to transform our mind into the object. So, for example, loving kindness, or metta. This is a state of mind where you feel love, kindness, compassion for as many people and beings as possible, including yourself. So when we do a meditation on loving kindness, it isn't that we're just thinking about what loving kindness is, but rather we're trying to generate that feeling in ourselves. We're trying to transform our mind into loving kindness. Yeah? And the same other examples would be compassion. Compassion is similar to loving kindness. It's a feeling, a state of mind of caring about others, wishing them to be free of suffering, wishing to help them be free of suffering, and so on. So again, we're trying to transform our mind into compassion rather than just having compassion as an object that we're thinking about. Does that make sense? So I thought tonight we could do meditation on loving kindness or metta, so that we can get an experiment or a taste of this kind of meditation. So if you want to take a few moments, if you're feeling uncomfortable, you want to stand up, stretch your legs, change your position if you need to be more comfortable. So once again, check the position of your body. Try to have your back straight. But don't let your shoulders be tight or tense. Instead, let them be loose, relaxed, free of tension as much as possible. And the same with the other parts of your body. Try not to hold on to tension anywhere in your body. Instead, let it go, let it disappear in space or sink down into the earth. And let your breathing flow in and out in a natural way. And if you're feeling sleepy or you think you might become sleepy during the meditation, then try not to close your eyes completely, but leave them open a little, looking down. And if there are any thoughts in your mind that are not related to what we're doing here, to this meditation, put them aside. So if you're thinking about something that happened today or any time in the past, or if you're thinking about what you're going to do later when we finish here tonight or tomorrow or any time in the future, so put all those thoughts aside. Those are just thoughts. Thoughts of the past, thoughts of the future. So we don't have to think them. We don't have to get caught up in them. We can just say, no, not now. Now I'm going to meditate. Put them aside. So do your best to have the determination that you will stay focused on this meditation. And if any other thought comes up that isn't related to the meditation that we're doing, just say no to it. Say no, not now. Put it aside and come back to the meditation. So, loving kindness, or metta in Pali language, is explained as the wish for others or one other person to be happy, to have happiness. So, this is a feeling we do have naturally. For example, people we are close to, people in your family, if you're a parent. This is how you feel towards your children. Or even if you're not a parent, you have this feeling towards your siblings, towards your own parents, towards your friends, other relatives. So there's at least one or two or more people that we know towards whom we feel this way. We care about them. They're important to us. They are dear to us. We want them to be happy, and we do what we can to ensure their happiness, to make them happy. So it's a natural feeling that comes up in us at least sometimes. And this meditation is to help us have this feeling more often and for more and more people. And it's possible eventually to be able to feel this way all the time for everyone. That's a long-term goal, but it is possible. So we work on gradually increasing and expanding this feeling of metta, loving kindness, and gradually we're able to feel it for more people and more beings, and to feel it more often. It's a really beautiful thing to do because it's such a beautiful state of mind. It makes us happy, and it's also good for our health. So we benefit from having loving kindness. And others benefit too, because they like to be treated with kindness. So let's begin by bringing to mind somebody we do feel this way for. So think of someone you really love, you really care about, someone important, dear, precious to you. think of that person and try to have a mental picture of them. You could imagine that person right in front of you right now, or just think of wherever they may be right now, at home or out somewhere. Just have a mental picture of that person. And then think, this person wants to be happy, just like me. I want to be happy, and this person wants to be happy too. So we have this in common. We share this wish for happiness. And then go one step further and feel how nice it would be if they could be happy. Wish them to be happy. And if that feeling doesn't arise, it can help to say certain words to yourself, like, may you be happy, or I wish you to be happy. It's also nice to imagine giving something to the person that will make them happy. You could imagine giving them some food they like to eat or some other kind of gift that they would enjoy, or just being kind and friendly, smiling, making jokes. So giving something or doing something that makes the other person happy. Imagine doing that. And imagine the person looking happy, smiling, looking happy, being happy. Do the same with another person. Bring to mind someone else you know and you care about. Think of that person in your mind. Have a mental picture of them. And remind yourself that this person too wants to be happy, just like you, just like the last person. He or she wants to be happy, doesn't want to be unhappy. And then see if you can wish them to be happy. You can repeat to yourself some words or phrase like, may you be happy, or how nice if you could be happy. And again, imagine giving something to the person or doing something that would make them happy. Bring a smile on their face, bring them joy. Imagine them looking happy, being happy. And now let's try the same with someone we're not so close to, someone we don't know so well. You could think of someone else in this room who's sitting near you, someone you don't know very well. Maybe you've just seen them here and there, but don't know much about them. Or you could think of a neighbor or a colleague at work that you're not very close to. So bring to mind one person like that. Have a mental picture of them. And contemplate that this person is also a human being. They have a mind, they have a heart, they have feelings. And in their mind, they have the wish to be happy. They want to be happy, just like you do. And just like the last two people you thought of. And then try to go the next step and wish the person to be happy. If it's hard to feel that way, you can just say to yourself, "May you be happy. How nice it would be if you could be happy." And then imagine giving them something. It could be something simple like a drink, a cup of tea, a piece of food, or just being friendly to them, smiling, talking to them in a friendly way. Something that makes them happy. And imagine the person smiling, looking happy, being happy. So now let's see if we can feel loving kindness for ourselves. For some people, that's difficult. Some people have a lot of anger, criticalness, even hatred towards themselves. And that isn't right. It's not healthy or helpful. So it might be hard to really feel loving kindness for oneself, but we have to at least try. So say to yourself, "I'm a human being, I'm a person, just like everybody else. I want to be happy, I don't want to be unhappy. And I deserve to be happy, I have the right to be happy. How nice it would be if I could be happy. May I be happy." So repeat that to yourself a few times. May I be happy. Try to really feel it. That even if you don't really feel it, that's okay. Just saying those words to yourself is good enough for now. May I be happy. Remember, if you are more happy, then you'll be able to bring more happiness to others. If you're miserable, depressed, unhappy, how can you make others happy? So it's good to be happy. Good for you and good for others. So now let's see if we can open up our mind, our heart, really wide, and wish all beings everywhere to be happy. So say those words to yourself. May all beings everywhere be happy. How wonderful it would be, or how nice it would be, if everyone, every being, could be happy. So there's different ways of doing metta meditation, loving kindness meditation. You may have learned another way, and you know that's fine. You can do it any way you wish, any way you find helpful. And how much time you spend will vary as well. You could just spend 1 minute, 5 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour, whatever. And also you don't have to do it in a formal situation like this, sitting with your eyes closed. You can be doing it in your daily life. If you're at work or you're on a bus or a train or out in a shopping mall where there's lots of people around, even to just the thought, even just for 1 minute, to think, may all these people be happy. How nice it would be, how wonderful it would be if all these people could be happy. So even just in a few seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, you can generate this thought in your mind. And you probably notice it does change your mind. It does make your mind more positive, more peaceful, more happy. It's a very beautiful state of mind. And it's also very helpful in cases where you're having difficulty with somebody. I'll tell you a story I heard. This lady was working in a company, and her job was to answer the phone when people called up, clients would call up, and they had a problem, and often they were angry. You know, they would call up, and they're angry, they're upset, so she had to deal with angry people. And she would find that when she heard the voice of the other person, and she could pick up the anger in their voice, this would make her angry, and she gets, you know, triggered off and get angry as well. So sometimes the conversation would be just, you know, they're angry at each other, they're arguing with each other, which wasn't very pleasant. So after she learned the loving kindness meditation, she would try to use that. So when she heard the person's voice and she found, you know, realized they were angry, she would say to herself, may you be happy, thinking about the other person, wishing the other person to be happy. May you be happy, may you be happy. She would just repeat those words to herself in her mind. And she found that that helped her to stay calm and not get angry at the other person. And if she could stay calm and not get angry, the other person would also calm down. And then the conversation would be nicer. So it's very effective in, you know, at work or in dealing with other people. It's hard, of course, to, you know, not fall into that trap of getting angry, getting annoyed, talking in an angry way. But if you can remember to do this, you'll probably find that, you know, it's a much nicer way of dealing with people rather than angry, shouting, arguing, and so on. Okay, is there any, we just have a few minutes left, if anyone has a question you'd like to ask. try.
So how do you know which meditation is suitable for you?
Well,
yeah.
Well, I usually recommend the meditation on the breath as a starting point, you know, practice to begin with. But it isn't just a beginner's practice. It's something you could be doing your whole life. You can learn a lot and grow a lot and develop a lot from that practice. But then it is also good to learn other kinds of meditation because they're helpful in other situations. For example, loving kindness is helpful in dealing with difficult people, or just in general, expanding our feeling of kindness for others. Because if you're just meditating on the breath all the time, your mind can get a bit dry and a bit, you know, lacking in kindness and compassion. So it's a good complement to the meditation on the breath to have loving kindness and compassion meditation. And then there's other meditations that can help us deal with other kinds of emotional problems like attachment or pride or jealousy. So it's actually good to have a repertoire of different kinds of meditations for different kinds of situations, different kinds of problems. But, you know, if you don't have time to learn all the different kinds of meditations, then the meditation on the breath, learning to calm the mind, that itself can be helpful for lots of different situations, lots of different problems. Well, we can stop here. Well, oh, sorry. Sorry, it may disappear and then?
The sensation may disappear.
Yeah.
It can be alternate sign, like your
light or whatever. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is, they talk about this in the Pali tradition. I haven't come across it in the Tibetan tradition, but in the Pali tradition, they say that when your concentration gets quite good, then. They call it a nimitta, that's the Pali term, nimitta, or sign, counterpart sign. And they say I haven't experienced it, but they say it's like it could be different shapes, different colors for different kinds of people. So everyone has their own experience of that. And it's just something that will appear in your mind. And once it's sort of firm and clear, then you switch to that. You use that as your object of meditation rather than the breath. Because the breath is, when we focus on the breath, it's actually a physical object. It's a sensory object, a physical object. And this nimitta is a mental object. It's an object of the mental consciousness. So it's more appropriate to use that as your object for cultivating concentration, calm abiding. Okay, so we'll stop here for tonight and let's take a few moments to make a dedication of the merit, the positive energy from what we did here tonight. We came together and did some meditation and tried to stay awake, alert, concentrated, and, you know, bring about a positive state of mind. So just making the effort to do this, even if we weren't entirely successful, just trying to do so is a really good thing to do. So we have definitely created some merit, positive energy, and we can share that with others so that it will bring happiness, peace, well-being, and eventually enlightenment for all living beings. So you can just say to yourself, by the merit, the positive energy we've created here tonight, may I and everyone else, all beings, find peace, freedom from suffering, and eventually enlightenment. Okay, thank you. Good night. See you next time.